The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, May 14th, 2018. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun. Sitting in for Bill, who is on vacation with his lovely wife Anne in the Bahamas, where he let us know by Facebook today that it is all of 77 degrees. Almost sounds unfair. The show comes to you live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. on KVOI 1030 a.m., or you can catch the live stream at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Bill's Facebook page is always a good read. He already has posted some great photos from Cat Island in the Bahamas, and there's going to be a lot more over the next couple of weeks. He also posts information about a show or on topics of interest to his listeners. It's good stuff. You can check it out just by typing in Buckmaster Show on Facebook. You can also find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com, and that's particularly valuable during a big election year like this one. Bill has everybody through the studio, and it's all there. You can hear what they believe right from their own mouths. We start off the week talking to our political experts during the Monday political face-off, and there is no lack of issues to discuss. Certainly these days. Today we're welcoming Jim Kelly and Vince Robago. After the break at 12:30, we're going to be talking to a couple of high school students from Sahuarita about how teens are making sure that they are part of the national conversation on important issues. I hope you stick around and join us for that at 12:30. As always, you are invited to join the discussion. Give us a call on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. And now it's time for the Monday Political Face-Off. We're joined by Tucson attorney Vince Robago and commentator, longtime GOP activist Jim Kelly. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, wall art, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, you can find them on Facebook. Jim and Vince here is hoping that you guys had a great weekend.
I worked Saturday, but I did have a nice weekend. It was very nice. Great Mother's Day.
Good.
Made brunch for my mom and my stepdad and dinner later on. It was wonderful.
Wonderful.
Same here. It was a wonderful weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all those mothers who celebrated this weekend, and of course those who have gone before and are no longer with us. Happy Mother's Day in celebration of all their contributions. It was a great weekend. I'm not sure why it's over, why we have to go back.
Yeah.
I'm a strong proponent, and I think we can get some bipartisan support for making a three-day weekend a requirement.
Well, we've got Memorial Day coming up. Come on.
Well, the news never stops, so we're constantly on seven-day weeks just to make you feel guilty. I'm sure it doesn't, though. We have got a few things I wanted to touch on. Senator John McCain, as we know, is in a battle for his life against brain cancer, but that certainly has not kept him from remaining a force. His memoir, The Restless Wave, is due out May 22nd, and, of course, excerpts have already been released, including some this weekend. Jim Kelly, he is pulling no punches in this book. What do you think is driving him?
obviously, his hero, John Reardon, is driving him. It's the world is a fine place and worth the fighting for, and I hate to leave it. And that's really, I think, sums up his motivation, his fight. He's gonna take it to the end. This is a man who those kinds of words from Ernest Hemingway touched him at a young age, and he's lived his entire life with that kind of grit and intestinal fortitude that keeps him going and keeps him courageous, even to the end.
Let me read a passage, Vince, and then tell me what you think. This is out of McCain's book, again, due out next week. Vladimir Putin is an evil man, and he's intent on evil deeds, which include the destruction of the liberal world order that the United States has led and that has brought more stability, prosperity, and freedom to humankind than has ever existed in history. He's exploiting the openness of our society and the increasingly acrimonious political divisions consuming us. What do you think?
Well, first, I have to agree with what my co-commentator said about his intestinal fortitude and fighting the fight that's worth fighting. And in that vein, these are issues, and what he's writing about, and with respect to this particular expert, these are issues that he has long held a position on. I don't agree with John on a lot of issues. I have supported him way back when, but on this issue, he's right. He's 100% right. That is Putin is a great danger. He sees the rebuilding of nationalism and the concept of empire arising out of Russia once again, and has done everything he can to do that. And so it is a different kind of warfare, and it is a form of warfare. It is not the kind where a war is officially declared, where you're sending troops. But make no mistake about it, there is a form of warfare that is ongoing, that is being used tactically and aggressively against our interests and against the interests of allies and others across the globe. And so I think he's hit it right on the money with this. I applaud Senator McCain for continuing to keep it, despite what he's undergoing and despite the odds that he's facing. And as they said, I think it was in Empire Strikes Back, Han Solo, never tell me the odds, right? the fact that he keeps up this battle and keeps being a relevant part of the discourse that is needed in our country right now.
John McCain is not only relevant today, but I think John McCain is going to be the kind of political leader that the United States has, that he will be relevant 100 years from now.
McCain says the president doesn't seem to understand the threat that Putin poses. Would you agree with that?
No. That there are things that our good senator does ascribe in terms of motivations to other people sometimes politically that I don't always agree with, and this is one of them. I don't think Trump is unaware. I think Trump is just fighting a different way. Whether it works or not is a whole other story. Obviously, it wasn't working under Secretary Clinton's leadership, and it certainly didn't work under Obama's leadership. The reality of it is this, is that the warfare is going to change and how things are done. But the one thing that's going to be constant is the old William F. Buckley Jr. Quote is there, when the KGB throws a woman under a bus, they throw them under a bus. When the CIA was there, they pushed the old lady out of the way of the bus. The result is both are guilty of pushing around old ladies. And so that's the kind of thing that is always going to happen between the United States and the Soviet Union. We're always going to be guilty of pushing old ladies. But are we going to be pushing them in front of the bus or out of the way of the bus? Putin pushes them in front of the bus, period.
He says Putin wants to defeat the West. Vince, you think it's that simple? And why would he want to do that?
Well, it's not just that. I mean, that's part of it. There's no doubt, because for him and for his view of bringing back this imperial view of Russia and their power, by definition, others have to fail, and to sort of essentially make that space in on the world stage for them and for him and his ambitions to succeed, that has to be done. And so what he's doing is he's taking advantage of some components, the openness of our country, those sorts of things. John McCain's right on the head on that. But
it doesn't matter if we're fighting communism or totalitarianism. When we're fighting both, the leadership of both act the same way. And John understands that. Senator McCain understands that. Whether the entire administration today understands that, it's up for debate, which is what we're doing right now.
Correct.
We're debating that.
Correct. And I would see it. And that's where I would disagree with the point made earlier I wouldn't so much disagree with it, but I would highlight the point. So to the extent that the other view is that Trump understands this danger, I don't think that's accurate. And what I mean by that is that Trump doesn't care and sees what he wants to see. So he may be given all the facts in the world, and it doesn't really matter because the rest of us can see the danger, but he embraces it for his own ends and his own means.
The reason I trust President Trump on these issues is because of the people he has around him with regards to military, foreign policy, and intelligence. So I trust those people, and Trump chose them. So I'm good to go with all of this. People were always on me because I didn't think North Korea was going to be as a big deal and that we were not going to go to war. We talked about it, but I knew we were not going to go to war. North Korea is taken care of. Think about that.
Jim, we have less than a minute before the break, but I'm going to give you the last word on this. Short answer, similarities between Putin and Trump. You both are obviously the two perhaps most powerful people in the world. Similarities.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But so did Roosevelt and Stalin. The reality is they're both leaders. They're both brash. They're both disruptive to their own ways of doing business. They are disruptors. The point is, what's the motivation?
Okay, we are going to take a quick break. Remember, the Political Face-Off is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And don't forget our friends over at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owners Steve and Sherry do an awesome job with their European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, and brownies. They're open for lunch right now. In fact, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeastern corner, Swan and Sunrise. Go to thebuckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. That's moesgallery.com, and of course you can find them on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill. You've caught us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off. We've got Jim Kelly and Vince Robigo here. Vince, we got a lot of candidates on both sides for Martha McSally's open seat in the House, and of course she's running for Senate. Is this primary for the Democrats and Republicans going to come down to who has the money?
You know what? Money helps. It helps a tremendous amount because you can reach voters. And reaching voters, those, you know, right now you're talking, not to prejudge who's listening, but there's a bunch of people listening. But these are people that are more in tune. They follow politics. There's a wide swath of people out there that are not going to tune in until it's really time to pull that lever, check the ballot, so to speak. And so that money helps. Having said that, in any primary, whether you're on the Republican side or the Democratic side, when you have this many people running, the reality is that it depends on who can motivate the base voters, the activists that are going to go out there and talk to their spheres of influence, and also work for the candidates. And so anything is possible. You'll remember back, I think, when Congressman Raul Grijalva ran, there was a multi-candidate primary, and he did not have the most amount of money. And he had certainly a tremendous army of volunteers that were willing to put blood, sweat, and tears into the campaign. And when you have the vote splitting, different things can happen. So it's going to be, you got to have some money, though, right? Because obviously you got to be able to reach those just having enough volunteers isn't going to do it. You have to be able to reach some people outside those bubbles.
Jim, I would agree that a lot of people just wait till the last minute to weigh in and decide who they're going to vote for. And these are people who often, I'm going to guess, are swayed by whatever the last commercial is that they heard, or really are not high information voters, but really they can swing an election, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those factors that that Vince was talking about. Money means confidence. The one with the most money means that people have confidence in that candidate to not only win,
but what people? But govern. What people?
Well, the people that give the money.
But
obviously.
But we're talking perhaps even literally in a place like, you know, maybe CD2, a handful of people. If you can get them behind you, suddenly you're the front runner.
Correct.
Is that right?
That's absolutely right. But here's the issue. When we start looking at who the front runners are in terms of money raising, whether it be Leo Marquez Peterson or Ann Kirkpatrick, now you've got the national parties involved, and the DNC wants this seat so bad. So she's raising most of her money from outside of the district. Leo Marquez Peterson has a long, long time activist, organizer, chairman of the board of THC, of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. She's well-known, well-loved, both sides of the fence. And now it's about getting the local Democrats excited about Leah and saying, our confidence will be in our local girl. And so I think Leah's going to start getting some more Democratic money. Whether it will be from the normal Democratic organizations, probably not. But I think there are some very activist Democrats out there that sometimes give money to a Republican. And I think Leah's going to get it. And I think Ms. Kirkpatrick's going to be very disappointed in that.
Are you prepared at this point to say that Leah's going to get the nomination?
I think she's going to get the party nomination for sure. The people that are in the primary right now are inexperienced. They can't raise money and they can't reach the voters except the various small activist groups like Vince was talking about. So they can peel off votes from each other, But I think in the long run, Lee is going to have the strength, the messaging, and the ability to reach the voters that the other ones don't have, and she wins the primary.
Well, I'm not going to speak to what's going to happen on the Republican side. I don't know that Leah necessarily comes out of this. Certainly, she has her ties with, you know, in the community with the Hispanic Chamber. You know, the reality is that the race is going to go to that person who's going to not only spend the money, but get enough groups and people, voters, coalescing behind them. And I don't know that that there's been a tremendous amount of money raised on the GOP side of the aisle for their, you know, for this alleged front runner. And that being the case, that should be very worrisome, I think, for the GOP side in comparison to what's happening, because the Democratic side is they are energized like nobody's business. And they were gearing up, you know, with respect to McSally, and of course now she's off doing something different and getting in trouble every other day with her, you know, campaign finance violations, and sort of her flip-flopping for public her public, you know, sort of her public positions.
That campaign filing was one issue that has been an ongoing thing of correcting what happened 4 years ago. So it's not a big deal.
Well, I don't know about that there, but we'll see, because that is still ongoing. But going back to CD2, the reality is that the candidates on at least on the Democratic side of the aisle, they are certainly you know, you have Hines who's running again, you have Kirkpatrick, you have the former Secretary of the Army under President Obama, Mary Mattiella, and you have other candidates,
Bruce Wheeler, Billy Kovacs.
So there's a lot of people running, and there's some new folks jumping in that are energizing folks. And so what happens is this, is that those people, if they reach out to others who have not been involved in the process, they get excited. They're not going to just drop off, not in a midterm election year under these circumstances. And so I think that the wind is at the back of whichever Democratic candidate comes out of this race.
Well, with the GOP, with respect to the GOP side, GOP money is an odd duck in a lot of ways. A lot of times, the big money waits until they know, you know, what their certainty will be. Whereas right now, most of the candidates, other than Leo Marquez Peterson, they're only raising friends and family money. They're not even in the Young Guns program. They're not contenders with the RNC. If they can't make that trip to Washington and prove to the RNC that they could raise $150,000 in 6 months, say, it's only going to be friends and family money. You cannot win a race in CD2 with only friends and family money. I'm sorry, it's just not possible.
I agree to that, but you can win a primary without having all the money that race. Yeah. And particularly we've seen that happen in the past. And I forget the gentleman's name.
Jesse Kelly.
I didn't want to. Yeah, I don't know if there's any relation there or not. But
he was the first candidate to get young to be a contender and get Young Guns status with the RNC. He even beat Martha on that one in the first race. And then of course he won the primary. He had a lot more organization. Martha came in late. He beat out Frank Antonori and a couple others. But I'm just telling you, Jesse had an organization. I don't see these other candidates having that excited of an organization that Jesse had when he ran. So, but those people are now much more they're either with Martha McSally or they're going to be with Leo Marquez Peterson.
Well, Jesse was also riding the Tea Party wave. That was 2010.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
That was Ruth McClung's year also, as I recall. And so a lot of that going on. We just have about a minute and a half left, but I wanted to weigh on this international issue because it is going on today. The United States opened its embassy in Jerusalem today in Israel. Lots of protests, which will continue tomorrow, which is, I believe, the 70th anniversary of statehood for Israel, dozens dead, lots of opposition to that move, lots of support for the move. Jim, why was it important to make the move for the embassy from Tel Aviv right now?
It was important because it was a promise that was made 20 years ago and it needed to be done. Secondly, it's important because Jerusalem is the spiritual capital of the Jewish people. And finally, in terms of protests, for violence since day one of the state of Israel. So that's nothing new. It's going to continue whether our embassy is in the city of Jerusalem or not.
Well, you know, all I would just go back to is when we look at these things in the broader scope and picture of what's happening. So, for example, the withdrawal of the United States from this Iran nuclear deal, you know, with, you know, he's talking about promises made. You know, we made a promise with all of our allies, China, Germany, France, even Russia, you know, and we're backing out of those commitments. And what concerns me is that our diplomacy and our State Department has been decimated, and it has not been filled with competent people. So when Mr. Kelly says, I trust the president because of the people he has around him, the reality is all of those professional troops in the professional career categories are gone, and we are in a very precarious place when it comes to international issues. And if things erupt, we are in a dangerous situation for Americans across this world.
Okay, that is going to wrap up the Monday Political Face-Off. My thanks to Jim and Vince. Always interesting. We hope you guys have a great week. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is proud to present the Political Face-Off. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. When we return, we're going to be joined by two teenagers from Saudita to talk about how young people are making sure they have a chance to weigh in on the issues of the day. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, who is on vacation in the Bahamas and didn't take you along. But you can check him out on your Facebook page. He's posting lots of pictures. They're having a good time. He needed a break. We're here in 100-degree weather, and he's not. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring the historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome to the show two teenagers from Sahuarita, my neck of the woods. Shayla Levesque is 18, student at Sarita High School. Summer Lamb is 17, a senior at Walden Grove High School. I met both of you a few weeks back while I was covering an anti-gun violence rally in Sahuarita. There was a huge turnout for that. I think it surprised a lot of people, big issue. And it was followed up by walkouts at both high schools, and we should say these were highly organized walkouts arranged with school administration, I should add, for the most part, giving kids an opportunity to kind of let the world know what they were thinking on this issue. So what we thought we would do for this half hour is just talk about some of the major issues and how teens weigh in, what's important to them, what you're hearing around campus, and how you feel about these. So Summer, why was this issue, anti-gun violence, enough to get you out on a street corner holding a sign? Why? What was it about this?
Well, it affects directly my generation, my peers, my family, my friends, and that really bothered me that we weren't beginning to really see action with this issue. And with the recent Parkland shooting, when all of the kids like Emma Gonzalez started making a voice for themselves, I didn't want to be one of the other students that just says, I'm not going to do something about it. I'm just going to let somebody else do it. And I felt that I needed to be out there supporting everybody else along.
And do you think that your response, which was to get involved, is were we seeing that a lot with your generation? Were some people finally saying, okay, this is the one where we need to get involved?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think it grew from the fact that so many students from Parkland began using their voices. And it really kind of shook the whole entire nation. I mean, even the world, actually. And it gave me courage to stand up and do that as well, along with them.
Okay, so it was a, not to be negative, but almost a pack mentality. I mean, you see other people do it, and that kind of gives you the sense that, yeah, maybe we can actually make a difference here.
Yeah, and I think that actually happens with a lot of movements. I mean, we've seen that through history in itself, women's rights, that still continues to this day. African-American movements, whether that's from back in the 1830s, trying to get out of slavery with the Civil War, all the way to Black Lives Matter, no matter your opinion on it, it's still always a collective. And that even goes for the other side as well that we've been seeing. One person speaks out and says, well, I'm for guns. Well, everybody's going to tag along and use that same kind of generic cliche sayings that we all use. And we've seen that a lot with this current presidency.
Okay, Shayla, what got you out to the street that day? Why was it important for you to be out there?
Well, I think it's just came to a point where we're all kind of realizing that this isn't just something that's going to happen one time. You know, it starts off with something, you know, the first one happens and you think, well, since that had such a large impact on everyone that it would stop. But you know, we see continuous day to day that it's just getting worse and worse and worse. So I think it was just me having enough as a high school student and realizing that I should not be scared to go to school. I should not be scared to share my voice or my opinions. And that I knew the only way that I could change it is by putting myself out there and trying my hardest to make an impact.
And Columbine, if I'm doing my math right, probably happened before you were both born. So in a sense, you guys were raised with this. It was not normal a long time ago, but it is normal or almost routine for what we're seeing for your generation. This is kind of what was there. Do you, Shayla, see other kids your age, though, interested enough to get involved?
You know, I think since it is such a controversial topic that some people are scared to put their voice out there due to some of the other people that feel negatively towards our subject. So I think that, I don't know, I just believe that some people don't feel the need to put themselves out there and think, well, you know, all the other people that are actually involved in the shooting will do that for us. So we'll just sit back and hope for a change.
Summer, this has been largely painted as an anti-gun movement, in a sense, that in fact, we even saw on the campus walkout, we had some people, and I believe it was at both campuses, who were also rallying for Second Amendment rights. Is it accurate to paint this as an anti-gun movement?
In certain ways, yes, and in certain ways, no. I think a lot of people do not understand the movement as a whole, or at least the March for Our Lives. And basically, it's to promote the not having certain weapons in people's hands, certain military-like weapons or military-grade weapons. Those were not created for everyday people to be able to buy, whether it's at gun shows or at any other Walmart places like that, or even high-end places where you are getting the training. And that's just my take on it, and I think that's the whole March of Our Lives point on it as well. And also to address the Second Amendment, people are going to view that in many different ways. There's a very small majority, or minority, excuse me, that is going to be saying, we want to repeal the Second Amendment and take away guns from all people. That's not the point of the movement. It's to reduce the gun violence, and it's to put action towards all of the laws that we have put through, because we have so many, but we're not seeing them in action.
Shayla, what, okay, so the signs are put away, the protest is over. What is the next step? What, this down in our area made quite a splash, but then it's over. How do you continue the momentum and actually get something done?
If you are 18, your major thing you can do is vote. You need to register to vote. You need to put your opinion in, because that's the only way that us being as young as we can, being able to actually make a difference. And I think also keeping in tact with your legislators and everyone like that, trying to really keep a close bond so you can share your opinion with them and they can also take that into consideration. And also just sharing your opinion with people at school.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with Shayla. The biggest thing that you could do is vote. We are a democratic system, and the way that we were set up to use our voices is through voting, and especially the young people need to get out there and be doing this. And if you are very, very, very concerned about this, you need to be following the movement, whether that's through social media, whether that's through Googling the organization, and making sure that you're staying up to date on what you can be doing as you're voting and what you can continue to be doing as you are protesting.
Do you feel, either one of you can answer this, that going out into the world now, as you soon will be off the campus, that you have been prepared to be civically involved in your community? In other words, you had opportunities in classes to learn who the mayor and the council are, who your legislators are, who represents you in Washington, what their jobs are. Did the schools prepare you to be involved citizens? Shayla, what do you think?
I think that the school does try and give us the opportunity to learn about what we'll be dealing with once we leave, but I think since political talk is so limited due to, you know, it being held against the school, that they don't really get into what really needs to be talked about. So they kind of just hit the basics and teach you, this is what you need to know. But if you really want to get into it, you really want to share your opinion, I don't believe that's something that you can do really in schools.
Yeah, I would agree with Shayla. I would say, well, recently with the whole Red for Ed movement, we have seen that education has been taking a toll for the past several years, and I think that learning certain things could be definitely up to date. But I would also like to state, I have had the great opportunity to be a part of History Club, which is a club that I participate after school, and we have debates in there, and we have these controversial topics, and it really prepared me to deal with different situations, whether it's very dogmatic or very civil. I've had an opportunity to have decent conversation, but whether that's learning necessarily about all of the different phases of government, maybe not thoroughly, but I know for the most part what's happening and what is good about it and what is also very, very corrupt about it.
Generally speaking, do you find the discussions or the debates on campus, whether it's with a club or in a class, are generally civil, and are they informed? Do kids, everybody has an opinion, but not everybody has an informed opinion. Are these valuable?
I would definitely say they're valuable. I would not be the person I am today, and I would not be sitting in this room without the clubs that I've been involved in, without the AP classes I've been involved in, whether it's my AP language class or my AP psych or my AP US history class, where we had these conversations. It also depends on the environment you're in. I can be two different people in two different classrooms. In one classroom, it will be a much more civil conversation. In other classroom, it's not going to be as much of a civil conversation. But nonetheless, whether you're screaming across the room or having a polite conversation, not necessarily screaming, but you learn the difference of personalities and you learn how to deal with those people and have the conversation.
Shayla, I was a little surprised to see the Second Amendment folks also rallying on the campuses. And like I said, I think it was on both campuses. I was not there. I had a couple of reporters, you know, at each school. What was the conversation like with the pro-Second Amendment people at that rally? And how were the discussions after the rally was over? Was it continued? What were people saying about him?
You know, even before the rally had happened, me putting on social media, stressing my opinion, my attending to the March for Our Lives and stuff like that, people did take offense to it and things were said. But during the walkout for our school, there was a few people who did stand and have the don't tread on me for ROTC stuff out. But there wasn't much conversation afterwards. I think just because it is so controversial on it being stressed a lot that the entire walkout was a positive thing, that we wanted to be very positive towards the situation and not hurt other people's feelings and things like that. So I think that there wasn't very much conversation because nobody really knows what to say towards each other to be respectful in 2018.
So generally speaking, no hard feelings, though, long-lasting feelings after the rally?
Not that I had heard.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break. It is 12:45, and you are listening to The Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Some exciting news from Green Things and Socalo Fine Mexican Import. Socalo at 2924 East Broadway is moving soon to a new location on the 13-acre Green Things site on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. With all the great Socalo merchandise from Mexican and Latin America right now, take advantage of great pre-moving sale items at Socalo near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. There's a link to the Socalo website at buckmastershow.com. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster, and we're talking to Shayla Lavasca, senior at Sarita High School, and Summer Lamb of Walden Grove High School, both down in my area in Sahuarita. And we're talking about teenagers getting involved in issues of national and international prominence and how they can have their voices heard. And Shayla, you mentioned social media. You've posted on things. You are used to blowback, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, and social media, best way to get your message out?
You know, in a certain aspect it is, but I also think it isn't as well, because that does give the people who do have those negative opinions more of a place to discriminate and try and put other people down to a certain extent. So I think it's very useful trying to promote your opinions in a good way, or promote, you know, other things such as businesses or things like that. But I think it can also definitely have a negative impact.
Summer, how do you turn social media into a positive?
Well, that's a really good question. It's been difficult, just because I have also been posting a lot of stuff as well, along with Shayla, about the walkout that I had organized at Walden, as well as being involved for the March of Our Lives. And I had dealt with a lot of different kinds of students. I've dealt with ones that supported me, made videos of the walkout, and then I've dealt with the ones that want to be the, what you call, internet trolls. And I had, you know, I pick my place of where to talk to people and when I should address them. And some of them, I would give them little spoofs of my opinion. And other times, I eventually was being trolled so much by some students that I gave up and simply said, if you would like to have a conversation in person, I'd love to, contact me. And they never did. And that's the part that's frustrating, is I'm willing to have the conversation.
But that couldn't have surprised you. These are people who just want to go out there, like Shayla said, and just give you a punch and then run away.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not surprising. But with that, it proves my point. It proves my point in just that if this is all you can say and you're too afraid to even talk to me and have a reasonable conversation, then it proves my point about why I do this and why I feel like it's important to be speaking out about it.
But rhetorical question, why are these people so brave online? And they can be, they can just be idiots sometimes, we can use that word. And by the way, that trail is always there.
I mean, I just think people have this, like I said before, this dogmatic view that you could just put any cliche thing that your mentor puts out there, if you want to call them a mentor, and just splash it on everybody's timeline until you finally have nothing better to say because you haven't thought of your own opinions.
Have you ever blocked somebody?
Definitely. I've blocked several people, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's not worth my time and energy to get upset over somebody who doesn't have their own opinions and follow somebody else's.
Okay, Shayla, so you don't have to save the world. You're not going to win everybody over. Sometimes it's okay to block people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it protects your own opinions as well as just getting too worked up about how other people feel, even though it's not their true feelings. It's the general feelings of others that they hear it from.
Okay, Shayla, a teacher, a class, a club, any of those things in high school encourage you to step out and be an activist? Anything that you learned on campus, say, basically gave you permission or the gumption to kind of move forward with this?
Honestly, at my school, a lot of the stuff that happened with the March for Our Lives was not promoted. It wasn't talked about by anyone. It wasn't, nobody was really trying to push opinions because nobody really knows how to feel about it. I do believe everyone has their own opinions, but it was never really pushed onto me as a positive or a negative thing about the whole gun violence thing in general.
Okay. And how do you both educate yourself on the issues before you actually speak up on them? What are your sources of information, and how do you make sure that they're reliable? Summer?
Well, I do follow CNN, but a lot of people feel that that's biased, but that's not the only news station that I follow, and that's the biggest part, is not following just one particular news station. NPR is a great one. MSNBC is another great one. Following the people who are involved in different organizations, following people in government, following people you don't necessarily like in government, and being able to try to find their perspective. For some people, I can see how some people in government can be trolls and you want to unfollow them. But for those that you do agree with or even don't agree with, you should be looking at all different ideas.
Shayla, as you get ready to hop out of the nest, however that's going to happen, do you see in your future this type of activism or involvement in local or state or federal issues?
I definitely do have that kind of personality where I am willing to share my opinion and have discussions and, you know, like Summer said, kind of meet in the middle and have we have different opinions, but we can be civil about it. So I would definitely be interested in, you know, the whole March for Our Lives thing. If there's anything that I definitely feel, you know, strongly about, I would like to go out there and promote it. And I do see something good like that in my future.
Okay, and Summer, what direction are you going? I know you're going to be heading up to NAU in the fall. You're considering a teaching career. You wouldn't leave activism behind, though, I assume.
Oh, no, definitely not. And I think education is the basis of intellectuality, and it gives you the opportunity to really voice your opinion. And I want to be a guidance and a force in being able to have students feel comfortable to do things. And I said all my life for a long time, no matter what I do for money, my first job will always be being an activist. I think it's really important to stand up for what you believe in, even if it may be controversial, because it makes you a much more practical person. It makes you a much more powerful person, but a lot more humble person, too, because you learn how to deal with different people.
But does it scare you that sometimes the debate can spin out of control?
Yeah, I've spun out of control myself. I'm not going to lie on that. I've had moments of weakness. I am young. I'm 17 years old, and that's not degrading my opinion by any means, but it's saying no matter how old you are, I mean, we've seen it on social media, people get out of control because they feel so powerful about their own opinions that it's hard to hold back.
Do either of you see yourselves getting involved in political campaigns in the future on any level, either walking door to door with a candidate, looking for signatures, giving money? Do you see that, Shayla?
Like I kind of stressed earlier, if I am very passionate about something, I do have an opinion on it, I would see myself working towards something that has to do with something similar to that.
I have considered being a part of political campaigns. I do see a lot of problems with being a politicized person. I'm not completely politicized. I like to be reasonable about my topics. I'm not, just because I may agree liberally doesn't mean that I'm going to agree with every liberal idea or extreme liberal perspective, which may surprise people, but that is true. I do see myself in the future hoping to get a major in education and a minoring in law. So that will also help in certain ways pertaining to activism.
Okay, we talked a little bit off the air, and I wanted to make sure that we introduce this because it was important to you guys. I think it's a great point that the anti-gun violence rally wasn't just about guns. It also feeds into other issues that might be helping feed into the gun problem. One of those is mental health or access to health care. What's your interest in that, Summer?
Well, when it comes to mental health, I definitely agree that it is an issue that we are dealing with. But the problem is people like to blame this issue of gun violence on mental health. And although I do agree with that to some extent, the problem is we can't even give people health care, free health care, or at least affordable health care to begin with. And insurance doesn't even really cover mental health at all. It's not on any plans unless the actual doctor or therapist themselves is providing it. So that's kind of a issue that we see. And another thing I would like to add that me and Shayla were talking about was the fact that
a lot of the time, these people who have mental health issues don't always act out in certain ways as to go shoot up a school. If you have PTSD, doesn't mean you're going to go shoot up a school. And it gets a bad rap on mental health.
Okay. Shayla, out at that street corner, was that your first time ever going to a rally like that?
Indeed, yes, it was.
And at what point did you decide you were going to do it? What kind of trigger did you say, I got to do that?
You know, it's just been continuously waking up every single morning, getting ready for school and seeing more and more people my age are, you know, being killed due to gun violence. And, you know, just the feeling that you never really know going to school what's going to happen to you nowadays. And it's not like, oh, well, I can just go into school and know I feel safe, but kind of like, you know, what if something does happen along the lines of that? And it is kind of, you know, a general scary situation. So I feel, like I said, that my only way to, you know, other than voting, to actually stress my opinion was to go out and stand with others who feel the same way that I do.
Over the last few years, at least, there have been a couple of incidents that have happened, whether they're true threats or not. At least people on campus felt threatened. Summer, at any point in during your time in high school, have you ever felt uncomfortable going to campus, unsafe?
I wouldn't say there's a particular moment in time where I can say that's the day that I felt unsafe. But there has been times when you hear about these mass shootings happening and you hear about the gun violence. And although we're in safe neighborhoods, you hear about the students who own guns or maybe make threats in the past. And it does frighten you a little bit. And it makes you think, is it going to be me today? Because a lot of the time people don't think it's never going to happen to me until it does.
Okay, very good. We have been with Shayla Levesque and Summer Lamb, two teenagers from Sahuarita. I am going to be back in this seat on Friday as we speak to Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie on behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show. You make it a great Monday.